Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, we worship you. We praise you. We thank you for this beautiful, glorious day that you have made. We thank you that you're our Lord, our God, our Savior, our healer, our provider, our deliverer. You're our everything. You have provided us with everything. All things are ours, you've told us and showed us in the Word of God. Now, Lord, today as the Word goes out, I ask you in the mighty name of Jesus to reveal these mighty truths to your church, that the church may begin to learn how to pray and pray in faith, or that they can get mighty answers to their prayers. And Satan, I rebuke you and I command you not to steal a word out of the mind or heart of a single person that's listening today. And Lord, I worship you and praise you and thank you for your mighty Word. Oh, praise you, Lord. We worship you as the Word goes out today in the name of Jesus. Now, we're continuing to talk today, as this week, about prayer, the mystery of prayer, and what is these mighty promises that God has made us. Now then, the entire responsibility for prayerlessness or ineffective prayer falls entirely upon us, the church. Now, if asking in the name of the Lord Jesus is not something that any fully devoted believer can normally do, then God is hedging. But God is not hedging. He is dealing honorably. That's the only thing he can do. Therefore, the responsibility for prayerlessness or unanswered prayer must fall upon us. The scheme of prayer, so far as God is concerned, is absolutely watertight. His part is already done. While his promise to answer is always circumscribed by his will, this is in no sense a hedge, since any truly yielded child of God never wills anything but God's will. You're not going to ask for silly things as a born-again, spirit-filled child of the King. You're going to ask things that are the Spirit's will because the Spirit is in you. You're not going to ask for crazy things. It's just not going to happen. Not if you're truly a born-again, spirit-filled son or daughter of the King of the universe. What you ask for in prayer will always be the will of the Father, because the Word will be in you. In other words, there is no fine print in God's prayer contract. God's offer of his scepter to redeemed humanity is, therefore, a bona fide offer. It is an offer in good faith. Through the plan of prayer, God actually is inviting redeemed man into full partnership with him. Not in making the divine decisions, but in implementing those decisions in the affairs of humankind. Now, independently and of his own will, God makes the decisions governing the affairs of earth. The responsibility and authority for the enforcement and administration of those decisions he has placed upon the shoulders of his church. I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. And listen to this magnificent promise in Matthew 16. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Think of that magnificent promise. Isn't that an awesome promise the Lord has given us? Now, this promise is repeated to the church in general in Matthew 18:18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And then this magnificent promise in Luke 10:19. This is one of the most awesome promises. When I finally got a hold of this, wow, what I've done with this verse ever since I realized what this says. Jesus was speaking, and this is Luke 10:19-20. If you don't have this set of verses locked into your spirit, you need to lock these in, because with these you can do damage to the devil's kingdom. Listen to what our Lord told us. Behold, I give unto you power or authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Now, of course, the serpent is the devil, and the scorpions are his demons. and over all the power of the enemy. Isn't that awesome? And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the evil spirits have to be subject to you, but rather be thankful that your name is written in heaven. Isn't that an awesome promise that the Lord gave to us, the church? I mean, that is a mighty promise. I mean, with that you can kick any devil out with that verse. He's given you all power over them and promised you they shall in no wise hurt you. And I get so amazed at the church. We just lay down and let the devil run over us. He comes in to make us sick and afflict us, or to steal our children, to put them on drugs, and we go off crying somewhere and said, "Oh God, where are you?" Well, I'm going to tell you where he's at. He's in heaven where he's always been, and he left you this word, and he left you all this power, and all you got to do is believe this mighty book, and I guarantee you can kick any devil of hell out of anybody with this book, when these promises, if you'll believe God. That Luke 10, 19, and 20 is an awesome promise. Listen to that again. Jesus is speaking, "Behold, I give unto you power or authority to tread on serpents," or Satan, "and his scorpions," his demons, "and over all the power of the enemy," over all the power of the enemy, "and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the evil spirits have to be subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name's written in heaven." We should be rejoicing because our names are written in heaven. But he said that these demons, Satan and these demons, have to be subject to us. What does it mean for an enemy to be subject to you? It means you take the word of God and you speak to him. You command him to leave you in the name of Jesus. And you don't try to do anything in the kingdom. You do it. If the Lord told you he's given you all power, you don't try to cast out a demon. You kick him out in the name of Jesus. And if you will do that by faith, you will begin to speak to your problems, speak to your fears, speak to your anxieties, and you will notice a fleeing Satan. Oh, what a glorious day when I got a hold of these verses. And then he says here, "And as my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Now think about that. As the Father has sent Jesus, even so Jesus send you and I. He sends us out with the same power, the same authority, the same Holy Spirit to do the same things that he did. And we in the church have literally failed miserably because we've not done what our King said. Listen to this great promise in John 20, 21 through 23. "Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." Now, what in the world does that mean? Now, I'm going to tell you in John 20, 21 to 23, this is an awesome promise. Now, after the removal of his bodily presence from among them, his followers must be his representatives. We must take his place. Now, this is the apostles' commission and ours. We are his proxies with power of eternity to do his bidding. "As the Father has sent me, even so send I you," can mean nothing less than that we are his deputies with full authority to enforce the divine will and program. Now, that the deputy is invested with the full power of the office of his chief and is fully authorized to act in his stead. Now, the question is, why did God choose to work within the framework of this system of prayer? Why did he place the full responsibility for the enforcement and administration of the divine government of earth and its affairs upon the shoulders of fallen but redeemed humanity? Why will he do nothing in earthly affairs apart from the cooperation of his church? While we rightly reject all these ideas that the Pope is the man, God's man on earth, have we not failed to act upon the sweeping authority God has delegated to his corporate body in the world? And that authority to implement the will and decisions of God concerning earthly affairs operates solely within the framework and system of prayer which God has ordained. By God's own decree, all of this vast delegated authority is wholly inoperative apart from the prayers of man. Because we learned earlier this week in Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, that if man didn't pray, God was not going to do anything. Why did God do this? Why in the world has he done this? Now, God had something infinitely great in mind when he planned the system of prayer. God's eternal purpose in the creation of the universe and the human race was to obtain an eternal companion for his son. This fact is a part of the mystery revealed in the book of Ephesians, reaching its illuminating climax in chapter 5. This chapter expounds the definitely divinely revealed parallel between God's human and divine marriage program. Now, this is absolutely awesome. Now, few verses here in Ephesians, we will see the mystery when Paul declares that the partners in the marriage program are Christ and his church. Now, when you read there about man and about the marriage relationship, you'll see that he is literally talking in this oneness about this marriage program, which are Christ and his church. Now, in God's eternal purpose, the church, as Christ's eternal companion, is to occupy the highest position in the universe, short of the Godhead itself. Now, as the bride of the eternal Son, she is to share with her universal sovereignty. Now, don't you know that someday we Christians are going to judge and govern the world? Don't you realize that we Christians will judge and reward the very angels in heaven? Because that's written for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Isn't that amazing what the Lord has done for us? I know that for years I didn't have no idea what was rightfully mine as a son of God, but I am learning. And we're going to continue on talking about this tomorrow. Now then, I'd like to invite you to write me. I've got full teachings on these things. The Living Savior Ministries, Post Office Box 35, Justin, Texas 76247. Or call me at 940-242-2106. Or you can get to us on the web at www.tlsm.org. And there you can find out where we're going to be, where we're going to be speaking, all of our out-of-town engagements, and the addresses and where to get there and so forth. We'd invite you to our church, the Living Savior Church, every Sunday afternoon at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. We start at 2 p.m. to 4 p.m.
I'd also like to invite you to our healing school. It starts at 1 p.m. the second Saturday of every month at the same location we have church. Look us up on the web for exact times at www.tlsm.org. You can find all the information on the website. Praise the Lord Jesus.